Tonight, I'm not going to share a sermon with you that's sort of going to blow your mind in the fact that it's going to stimulate your mind, because that's not what what it's about tonight. I really felt that God wants me to speak to your heart. So if you brought a book and a pen, there's basically going to be four small scriptures. One we're going to read, and for the rest, you can just sit and relax. There's no scenery out there anymore, so even if you thought, you know, I was thinking if we turn it around, then everybody's going to check the waves and check the mountain. So then you better preach very good. So it's either me or the wall up there. Okay. So just hang in there. And I'm going to start with a story that I shared there in Stellenbosch as well last week about what happened in Ireland and a freedom that God did and started to do, and that changed my life completely. And I'm trusting tonight, I'm just going to give you something as what I received, because I learned something about receiving and then also about giving the same thing when God starts to do something in your heart. And so what happened is the third night at a sort of a crusade or event, a big event in a small town called Fintona there in Northern Ireland. I call it Fintona. That's the closest I could get to Fintona or Fintona. It's Fintona. But what happened is we had a massive gathering. It's massive for those places, 4,000 people. It's almost like 40,000 people here in Somerset West gathering. And so there were like the Catholics and Protestants, people that hated each other, you know, killed each other for many years, liberal fighting, all that stuff. And so they were all together in one meeting, one big meeting, and it's very, the people, they were very conservative and very sort of prim and proper, and everybody's got their seat in their place. They come in, they come and walk in, and they sit, well, thank you, nodding. Very, very prim and proper people, not loud people, very passionate, but they're very in their place. So that was the scenery of this meeting with these Catholics and Protestants, people for the first time in 50 or 100 years that they actually came together in a meeting like that. And so I was there with some Angus, and he started to preach. And almost halfway through the sermon, he stopped. And then he said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want God to do for you today?" And he turned around and he wanted to preach on again. And then he came back again and he said, "What do you want God to do for you tonight, today?" And a lady almost two-thirds of the way at the back there jumped up and she screamed. She said, "I want peace." But not like that. She said, "I want peace." Almost like that. And it was dead silence. And then she screamed again. She said, "We want peace." And the next moment, the Holy Spirit came like just a gentle wind came blowing in, like almost like you felt tonight a little bit, came blowing in, and then the people started to stand up, and they started to walk to the front. There was a big area right in front, and people just started to fall in front. They just started to go on their knees, and they started to weep uncontrollably. Now, there are two types of weeping. One where you weep, and you sort of don't want anybody else to see. And you sort of like, you know, especially us as men, you sort of, you know. But then there's another type of weeping, a weeping that comes from inside, that you just, it's just like almost a wall that has burst. Like somebody that has died, and you just, you know, you come, everybody on the funeral, they sort of try to keep themselves together, but then there's a moment where the walls just break. It just, you know, and then they weep from a deep. People started to weep like that, and then it just broke loose, and the sermon was on its end. It was at its end. Angus still said, "I don't know what to say right now. I don't know what to preach anymore, but I'm just going to keep quiet now." And for the next 15 minutes, God just started to take over the church meeting. Oh, I love it when God takes over the church meeting, you know, when we come with our agendas and our programs, and the Holy Spirit just decides he wants to do something else. Are you with me tonight? Hello. And so, so that, and then after a while, because for 2 days it's the middle of summer, because for 2 days there was no rain. That's a miracle in Ireland, you know. But for 5 minutes, there was like intense rain on the roof that evening. For 4 days there were no rain, 2 days before, 2 days after. But for 5 minutes after he prayed the following prayer, he said, Lord, thank you that we can receive your forgiveness. Wash us clean by your blood tonight. And then heaven broke loose on that roof. I'll never forget it in my life. You know, you don't need 30 sermons when something like that happens. When people start to, people that, you know, it's so intense in some parts of Northern Ireland, you get one town that is Catholic and the next town that is Protestant. And the Protestant person will not drive through the Catholic town. He will take a detour to go by the Catholic town, but he will not go or do business or speak to anybody in the Catholic town. Yeah, so it's intense hang-ups and stuff and things that was there and was present. And for the first time, God just decided, well, he's going to break loose. Because there were people and one lady in that congregation that was open enough to cry out to God and to say, God, I want you to come and visit us, because we're not going to have just another ordinary meeting. Are you with me tonight? Okay, Matthew chapter 9. You're staring at me already, but somebody's going to cry out tonight, I believe, before the end of this meeting, at least with an amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. When Jesus heard that he said to them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were fighting a little bit. He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus said to them very simply, he said to these people, I didn't come for the healthy. I didn't come for the whole. I didn't come for the perfect. I came for one reason. I came for people that need a doctor. And so I spoke to a doctor today. I preached on a farm. I had to like consecrate the farm. You know, ek het op 'n wynvat gepreek vandag. Dit was baie snaaks, but all these hoi polloi's and all the big names in Stellenbosch, I was preaching to them. But it was so nice just not to be intimidated by people sitting there and actually to bring a word of God to those people. You know, and I said, and something that God told me when we were there in Ireland, he said, my people are sick if they would only realize it. You see, when I spoke to the doctor today there on the farm, I said to him, now, what type of patients do you get? He said, well, I get lots of people that come with different ailments and different problems, different sicknesses. And then I get lots of other people that just come because they're actually emotionally sick. They just don't know it. I can just give them panados, especially some older people, you know. They come there and they just want some conversation because they're so lonely. And he says, then the biggest challenge is actually depression. Lots of people struggling with heaviness and depression, and especially Christians, but they don't want to acknowledge it. And I believe that is why God cannot move, because sometimes we try to be so together, we try to be so perfect. I want to read us a story in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to quickly read it, because I'm just giving an introduction to the service that's going to start a little bit later. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I told you tonight it's not going to be just a service or a sermon, okay? I really want us to open up our hearts for God, because I believe God wants to touch every individual here. And don't think of, ooh, you know, I wish Peter was here. No, you are here, yeah? Because I'm going to challenge that way of thinking tonight when it comes to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. We all know this story. It starts with Jesus having an open conversation. Now, what would happen most of the times, if there was like dignitaries or nice people, or especially big, great people or important people, what they would do is they would invite a dignitary to their house, and then there would be like an open courtyard area. And then they would first go and sit there, and there you could have conversation. You could chat to the people, and especially these two people, the Pharisee and Jesus, they would have a conversation. And anybody that wanted to come could come into this open courtyard area, and they could just go and sit there, be dignified, and listen. And then they would sort of just check out and sort of listen to this conversation and this deep theological debate or whatever what would happen there many times. And then after that, they would go in and they would go and eat, and certain things would happen inside, and not everybody could go inside. But this open courtyard was sort of open for people to come in. And in this setting, this woman comes in, and Scripture says she was a sinner. Now, how many sinners have we got in the house tonight? Hello? And then they raise it high, high, very high. Oh, thank you, thank you. Some people are half sinners, some people are trying to be sinners, some people are good sinners, you know. But the fact is, this woman, Scripture says twice, says that she was a sinner. She was a known, well-known sinner. She was probably a prostitute, a lady of the night. Let's refer, let's give her some dignity. And so here she comes in onto the scene, and she's got lots of, like the New King James here, or the modern King James, would talk about an alabaster flask, but it wasn't actually that. It was sort of a thing that she would hang around her neck with a little bowl thing in here that was very, very expensive oil. And that oil was probably worth about 2 years of wages. And so here she comes onto the scene, and this is where we catch up with her. Let's go on. And she does a couple of things. Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him. So she comes behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with the tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Beautiful. Yeah, we see this thing. This woman comes. She's completely out of her way of doing stuff, especially out of the Jewish culture. She comes from behind. She loosens her hair, which was for every Jewish lady. If you were in public, your hair was always tied together, never loosened. So yeah, she loosens her hair. She takes that oil that she probably got from doing lots of other things, lots of sinful things. She comes from behind, so she sneaks up. She doesn't even ask. She just begins to cry, and she begins to wash the feet of Jesus. She anoints his head. She does a couple of things. And now on the other side, where this beautiful scene is just her intimately with Jesus, opening up her heart to Jesus, and she's really making herself vulnerable to him, stands this Pharisee. And he sort of, Simon is his name, he's sort of checking it out. And he doesn't say anything. He's sort of just checking out the scene, and he's thinking. He's just thinking. He says, thinking by himself, if Jesus was spiritual enough, if he was a prophet, if he was spiritual enough, he would have known who this woman was, what she has done, and then he would not have allowed this to happen. You know, one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is the fact that when we've got pride in our hearts, we've many times got a false sense of spirituality, that it becomes more spiritual than God. Hello? Because this story is not about the woman. This story is 100% about the Pharisee. And you'll see why I say that later. Because when I read it, I always read about the woman. How beautiful this is. What a beautiful story about this woman opening up her heart, bringing the oil and all of that stuff. And yet 80% of the story, the narrative, is about the Pharisee. So I want us just to make a little bit of a shift tonight in our minds, and then we're all going to receive from God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Everybody's very silent, very quiet in here. Okay, but I want to just shake our way of thinking a little bit. Let's go on. Well, let's just read that last verse again. So he says, if you were a prophet, you would have known who this woman was. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. This is beautiful about Jesus, you know. When God comes into our lives, he doesn't say, you big sinner, you hypocrite, Simon. No, he says, Simon, I really want to share something with you tonight. Simon, are you open to receive? The biggest challenge for Christians today, and I'm talking about born again, spirit-filled, baptized, everything want to do, be do it, faith seeking, changing the world Christians, is the ability to receive from God. The ability to receive from God. But so here he comes to this man and he says to him, Simon, I've got something to share with you. And then he goes on. He says, share it, Jesus. bring it on. Show me. Come on, you know, he's still in that place because he didn't know that even Jesus could read his mind, okay? So there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 15. The one is 2 years of wages, the other is about 2 months of wages. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Say, freely forgave. Freely forgave. Say it again. He freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? It's an amazing story if you read between the lines. Scriptures, it's not always what Scripture says, it's what Scripture doesn't say. So he says there are two debtors, there are two guys that owes some money. They cannot repay. Now, how many of you know that if you owe somebody 5,000 rand and he demands it of you tonight, he says, in the next hour, I'm going to chop off your head or you're going to give me that 5,000 rand. Or if you owe that person 500,000 rand and he says, in the next hour, if you don't give me that money, I'm going to chop off your head. Do you know, to both of those people, if you haven't got anything, if you've got nothing, then the 5,000 and the 500,000 is exactly the same. Would you agree with me? This is what the story is about. Jesus says, we come into a place, Simon, like Simon, and we judge. And we say, well, because the one has been in such a bad place, and in such a great, you know, he owes so much. Wow. God, you really forgave him. But the other one who's just 2 months, you know, it's sort of small change for you. But you know, that's what Jesus in Scripture really doesn't say. It says, if you've got nothing, then if you understand the power of forgiveness and how much I want to give, then the one is not going to be more grateful than the other. It just lies in the ability to receive that forgiveness or not. And when you and I sit here and stand here tonight, do you know what the amazing thing about the cross? We all are equal before the cross. Because even if you committed a little sin or even if you murdered somebody, it's exactly the same. Because if you need a little bit of forgiveness, doesn't matter whether you need a little bit or a lot. Are you with me? So now he comes to Simon's heart. He says to Simon, Simon, you have rightly judged. He says, Simon, you've brought judgment on this case. But he doesn't actually answer Simon and says, he just says, according to your perception, you have rightly judged. But Simon, there's something more. When you understand my heart and my ability to give and to forgive, you're going to truly be set free. Are you still with me? Shake somebody next to you and say, we're going somewhere. We're busy with the introduction. Okay, let's continue. So, he says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? What a question. There's a woman sitting in front of Jesus. Everything, the whole scenario surrounded this woman coming in and washing his feet and all of that stuff. Now Jesus asks Simon a question. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? As if nobody saw. We were just talking about the woman. Simon was standing there. Everybody, Jesus, are you blind? Yes, you know. But that's not what he's asking. He says, Simon, do you see the heart of this woman? Because Simon, you've missed my heart wholesale. Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see what she represents? Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. He's talking about perception. And he brings this man right to the place where this whole story is a bit out of context. Because there's a big problem with this story. Simon was a Pharisee. And if you were a Pharisee, you either, or at least one of your servants, would stand at the door and you, with any dignitary, you would wash their feet, you would anoint their head, and you would give them a kiss. Or at least one of your servants. the big problem with the story is Simon didn't do that because Jesus said so. He said, Simon, she washed my feet. She anointed my head. You didn't do that. Simon, you missed even your own rules or your desire to be perfect at the door. Hello? Are you with me? Hello, I'm just reading a story that we've all read many times in our lives. It's not about the woman. It's about Simon. And so the amazing thing about this is the fact that Jesus actually needed to turn away. As a Jewish rabbi, he should have turned away at the door because he was disrespectfully and disgracefully treated at the door. But you know what? God's heart is he will always come upon invitation. Doesn't matter what you get right, what you get wrong. And this is the beautiful thing about this story. Simon missed it completely. He was the most judgmental person. He was the most, you know, because we think in terms of, whoa, you know, the woman is the one who was much forgiven. No, no, no. Simon is the one who needs a lot of forgiveness because he's missed everything in his perfection and even in the Lord. Are you with me tonight? Hello? But God's heart, if we understand God's heart and the fact that Jesus came to that place and even was open to rejection and being disrespectfully treated and being disgraced in front of all of those people because Simon didn't wash his feet, Simon didn't take care of the basic stuff. The woman came in and she did it. And yet he says to him, Simon, Simon, I've got an appointment with you today. Those who much has been forgiven, they can give much, they can love much. Those who little has been forgiven, little they will give. So it's all again about our perception as to how much we've received from the cross. Hello? Hello? Just wave at me there at the back if you're still with me. So I said, I made a little bit of a statement. I said, our ability to receive is a massive problem. Because when there's pride in our hearts, and let me make it personal here, sitting there on the stage, and when Angus preached and being interrupted by this lady because it wasn't the right place in the sermon to stand up and to jump and to start to cry and all of that stuff. It's sort of, you know, just wait till the preacher finished, you know. But God had other objectives. And so these people coming forward, I sat on a chair there in front, lacquer, thinking, sure, Lord, you're doing an awesome work in these people's lives. Yeah, Lord, this is amazing. Lord, they've got lots of hang-ups. Look at them, Lord. You know, it's amazing how we counsel God when we pray, you know. So, Lord, can you see what is happening here? It's like as if God is not there, you know, as if God doesn't know. Yeah. And sitting on the chair, the Holy Spirit came to me and said to me, where you're sitting, you will never receive from me. I was thinking, why? Talking to me, Lord, didn't you miss the ID number here? Maybe it's somebody down the line. Because I was just like Simon. I was sitting there and thinking, oh, how wonderful it is, Lord, that you're moving in their lives. But you know what? It's so easy to close your heart to God and to the move of God in our lives because we're always thinking in terms of somebody else. Lord, if you just know about this woman, if you just know how much sin she has, then you would have been more prophetic, more spiritual. Lord, can you know? And do you know what? What happens is we block our hearts to receive from God. Sometimes because of fear. Sometimes because we've been hurt in places where we were supposed to be intimate with our parents or in a relationship where you were supposed to be protected. Yes, sometimes it just becomes a natural thing for us to block out. But you know, when I sat there on the chair, I realized I can either now receive from God and I can jump into this river, or I can sit there and say, oh, how wonderful your work is, and go and talk about it. Well, Angus was already almost passed out there on the floor in front of me, so I didn't have lots of options, I know, you know, because he was just saying that, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to preach anymore, and then he just kept quiet all the time, you know. So the next moment, three of us that were sitting there, we were also down on the ground, and then the Holy Spirit started to move, started to work in my heart. I can tell you lots of things that happened. But it was amazing. For the next couple of nights, The Holy Spirit. I've never had such experiences. I don't know. Some people may say it's not biblical, but you know, my God started to move in my spirit, and my spirit started to speak to God, and I felt like I wasn't involved. There was somebody I had to forgive, and you know, God started to show me. I took them to a cross in a dream, and I just took the blood of Jesus, and I just smeared them with the blood of Jesus, and I just said, "I forgive you." Everything inside of me didn't want to do it, but I just said, "God, I give you free rein." The next day, dreams on dreams, stuff started to happen. Because for the first time, I said, "Lord, I want to receive. I don't know how to receive from you because I've become so perfect and so good in the ways that I do stuff. Because I love to live by rules and regulations." It makes life easier, just like Simon. Until a woman comes onto the scene. And Jesus says, "I want to talk to you, Simon. Simon, I know your heart is pure and I know you're missing me wholesale. But I'm here. If you would just come to receive." There's a beautiful scripture that when Jesus sent out his disciples, they were not spiritful. They were not going to change the world. He said to them, "Freely you have received, now freely give." What have we received? Huh? Yeah. Jesus hasn't even gone to the cross yet. The Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out. "Freely you have received, now freely give." Jesus did some profound things. You know, I'm beginning to read scripture completely different. Do you know how beautiful God is? Last Sunday night, I prayed for a lady. And this is just, God is such a gentleman. This lady came up, I didn't know her from anywhere, and she was standing there. And I just said, "God wants to give you new shoes." She started to weep uncontrollably. I thought, what did I do wrong, you know? New shoes. And I said it a couple of times over her life. You know, she came back crying. Well, she wept for about 40 minutes. And then she came back and she said, "You know what? I was very embarrassed and shameful. And I took all of my guts to go to the front to receive something healing from God because I had rotten toenails. And I was so embarrassed and shameful. I didn't want to tell anybody about what was happening. And I just, that was the biggest intimidation. And now God comes and he prays. And this man prays and says, 'I'm going to give you new shoes.'" How beautiful is God? God doesn't embarrass anybody. She knew exactly what was happening and God did a miracle right like that. But I love it in the way that God did it. "Oh, you rotten toenails, be healed in Jesus' name. Turn to the Lord in the glory of the Lord now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Stench over." Yeah. And I just started to realize when God comes on the scene and the Holy Spirit starts to move, you know, God is such a gentleman. And just like with this woman, he doesn't embarrass her and he doesn't embarrass Simon as well. Because God knows, and that's why with the title of my sermon, "It's okay to be sick. It's okay not to be okay." Because do you know what? Otherwise, we'll never need a healer. We'll never need a deliverer or a savior. And yet, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we pretend we go on because we've got such beautiful programs and all of that stuff, but our hearts are so far from God. Because why? Whether God pitches or he doesn't pitch, it doesn't matter. Hello. Because if the Holy Spirit is not there, what we'll do is, oh, we'll just enjoy life. Oh, that was nice. Didn't like the worship songs. Let's go back and watch some television. Won't care. But you know what? When we come to church, we say, "Lord, if you don't move, if you don't come to heal me, if you don't come to, if your presence, Lord, is not with me, Lord, I'm dead. I'm not going to make it through this week, Lord, because I know how utterly dependent I am on you." That was the only difference between that woman and Simon. Ability to receive. Ability to know their dependence on God. Are you still with me? James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "God resists the pride, the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." We all know it. The only thing that stands between us and receiving from God is very simply self-righteousness and pride. It's that place where we assume perfection or our own righteousness through what we do or what we try to do, or what we've earned, or whatever, where we come to a place where we say, no, God, I'm okay, I am good. Hello. There's no goodness that can glory in the presence of God, because God is not looking for goodness. He's looking for perfection. And the good news about that is the fact that you don't need to be perfect, because you can't be perfect, otherwise you would be God. Jesus was perfect. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21 says so beautifully. It says that He became for us righteousness. You can throw that scripture on there. It says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We have a position, we've got an ability to come to God and say, God, I'm not perfect. No, you don't expect me to be perfect. I'm sick. But Lord, when I come to Jesus, I don't need to remain sick, because I can receive from what You have already done. Forgiveness. Fullness of life. God's free flow of grace through our lives. And you know, we've been preaching a lot about grace and all of that stuff. And you know, it can still be just here in our heads until we open up our hearts. And that's why I'm telling you that story of that lady right at the back that stood up and she realized something. She said, there are 4,000 people here and we can continue like we're doing and pretend that everything is fine, and yet there's intense hatred in our hearts and there's intense, you know, stuff that we need to deal with. Or I'm going to jump up and I'm going to say, whoa, 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 okay, stop your lorry, hey. Captain Spani Sailor, we're going to stop right here, you know. Hey, the bus stops here. Because at least I'm going to be honest as to where I'm at. And where we at. One lady that stood up. And then the presence of God came. Exactly the same. Sometimes God is just looking for one person in a family that can stand up and say, whoa, 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 stop the bus. We're not okay, and it's okay not to be okay. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's okay not to be okay. And you can smile when you do that. It's actually nice. Ek wil gou, kan jy gou hierdie aansit asseblief? Is dit Philip?
One, two. How's I? Nou, nou klink my stem meer rees. Ek wil bietjie nader staan. Especially for the people here at the back. Hello, Franswa. That's our pressure. I'm going to say it slowly again, because you know, sometimes we can be small group leaders, we can be district leaders, we can be a pastor, we can be do hula hoops in the presence of God and all of that stuff. And many times people escape into a spirituality where it actually becomes like just another way of living. And you can be so spiritual but not connecting your heart to God at all. Ask me about it. Where you sort of miss the heart of God completely. Because you want to live in the rules and regulations land. And you sort of want to be like Simon. You want to at least pretend that you're good. At least try hard enough and at least invite Jesus to come to your house. Because, and you're not going to say anything like he did, he just stood there and he said, just in his mind. Jesus, you're missing in a little bit here. I'm not going to embarrass you, Jesus, but if you were more spiritual, then you would have chased this lady out of the house. Or you would have done something else, but you would not have allowed her to do her sexual things there on your feet and, you know, and loosen her hair. That is really tense, Jesus. It really freaks all of us out here. But I'm not going to say that. But, yeah. Maybe next time, Jesus, pray a little bit more before you come to visit me. Because you missed this one. You missed the prayer meeting. We prayed about that stuff Friday morning. And I'm not belittling where we're at. And all I'm doing is I'm just telling you what God has done in our heart. And the most amazing, liberating thing happens is then God starts to move. But you know what? The amazing thing about God's move and about what God wants to demonstrate here is it cannot be controlled. And next to not receiving, not having the ability to receive, we must let go of control. Because we we so easily want to control stuff because then it's easier to understand or control our environment. But when God starts to move, it's uncontrollable. Did you know that? Have you read the New Testament lately? Hello. There's just like a felt fire that begins to burst through. And people start to get healed. People start to get, you know, I told the story on Sunday night of this lady came into the town. She was a gypsy. And she had a dream. The evening, a voice came and just said to her, "You must go and find Angus Buchan. He's going to tell you what you must do with your life." So the next morning she wakes up, she goes to the pub, and after a fourth beer probably, 9 o'clock, she goes to the pub. She comes to this awakening that she heard a voice last night about an Angus Buchan person. So she asks the guy behind the counter, she says, "Have you heard of a guy called Angus Buchan?" He says, no. Righty then, just move right along. You know? And so there she said, but he said to her, "There's a poster, go and check. Maybe it's him on the poster. I heard there's somebody coming to talk." And so she walks down two blocks and there she sees a name, Angus Buchan, on the poster. So she brings all of her 25 other gypsy friends. Gypsies are like travelers, they're really like the liberal people. And they all get saved. They're the first one standing in front. Now many of us got a problem. Oh, is the salvation real? What is happening? But you know what? When she came to tell her story, and they're all weeping and they're breaking before God, who are we to say? Hello? And I want to challenge us, but I want to just end with a story that many of you have heard. And when I was, Louise and I, we just got married. And you know, when you sort of want to be the husband, you want to be sort of in control, and you want to tell everybody that you're going to make it, you know? And yet you're a bit tense when you get married because you're always thinking about the provision, all of that stuff, you know? Let me switch to this one again. Hello, as I. And when you want to be the husband, and so it was the 20th of the month, and we had no food left. So that morning, I prayed these desperate prayers. Jesus, you know what you say in your word, that seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. But you know, it's like a desperation stuff, and then we sort of want to lecture God. You know, we want to tell him what his word says and he mustn't forget, you know. We sort of want to twist his arm. And so we've got no food and I love meat, so here we go. I'm going to put out the washing. And here comes this guy driving in with this car, not a bad car. But this guy looks like a choma machora. You know, like he hasn't bathed for 3 days and he's like a chain smoker. So at that stage, I had big problems with smokers because I just think, well, you're a sinner, you know. Hell and brimstone and all of that stuff. Turn or burn, that's all I wanted to preach at people like that. And so I thought, oh, you know, and the guy greeted me and I greeted him back and walked past and came back again and sort of like stiff upper lip, you know, I'm not going to talk to you because his brother was staying next door. And the next moment, this guy, with wide, open eyes, looks at me. He says, "Do you want meat?" I'm checking like, I said, "No, thank you. I'm fine." And I walk back, I go into the house with the washing. Not even points there. So when I'm standing there, the Holy Spirit speaks to me like, clearly. He says, "Don't reject my provision for you." I'm thinking, again, one of those, "No, Lord, don't tell me this." So then I went back, went out again. And I said to him, "Sorry, sir, what did you say just now?" His eyes were just like that. He says, "Do you want meat?" But he was like, didn't scream it. It's just, "Do you want meat?" Yeah. I said, "Well, thank you that you asked, but, you know, I actually like meat." Oh, all the pride goes. Now, everything like... Then he opens up his boot. The boot is packed with the best Karoo lamb, sausage, everything that you can think of is in there. And I'm just piling up. He says, "Do you want more?" I say, "Oh, yeah, I've got some more space, you know." And he just... That afternoon, Louis Stadler and them still came to visit us, and I just, when he came, I said, "Do you want some meat?"
You know, just gave some more meat to him. But I learned a very valuable lesson in the fact that I struggled to receive. Because when God starts to give, do you know what? He many times gives through ways and means that we don't expect. God will bless, just like with this woman. And we must open up our eyes, we must open up our ears, and we must say, Lord, whatever you want to do, teach me to receive. But I want to receive so that I can start to give. But we try to give before we've received. And then we just become striving, competitive, fleshly, trying to psych ourselves up, trying to sing nice songs, and we must sing seven songs because seven songs has been set out. No, you know, if God is not there after the second song, stop singing the songs. Why should we try to psych up God? Hello? If your quiet time doesn't work 5 o'clock in the morning because you went to bed at 3 o'clock, then rather make it 1 o'clock in the lunch. Because you're going to just sit there and you're going to fight with the spirit of Duvay for 3 hours, and then you come out of there and you have submitted to the spirit of Duvay, and then you feel so condemned and so guilty because somebody once told you you must have quiet time 5 o'clock every morning. Who said that? Where did we learn that in scripture? Hello? It says God has given us a life of abundance, living waters. So all I'm going to pray for tonight, as the band is going to come up, now the service is starting. Are you with me? I'm not yet to give you a fancy sermon, but I want to pray for a couple of people, a couple of groups of people that the Lord showed me. And the first group is a group of Christians that are depressed. And you love Jesus. You really, you've got a relationship with Him, and you desire in your being to please Him. And do you know what? God loves you so, so much. But you're carrying stuff that you're not supposed to carry. And you're taking burdens and stuff on yourself that is God's burdens. And you must come to exchange it tonight. He wants to give you another garment. And you know what? Tonight I want to truly say to us that we're not yet to embarrass each other, whatever. My desire is just that not one person will go out of this place without being touched by God. Because I believe strongly that the Lord gave me a word that He wants to touch every person in this room tonight. Everyone that will come here. He wants to touch you in a special way because that's just who He is. And what we can do is right now is this. I want to go home. My chicken is waiting in the oven or whatever. Or you can let your chicken be burnt for once. You can go home and enjoy burnt chicken that comes out of your ears because you've met with the living God. And I know some of us must go, and that's fine. But there's fresh water. And God is inviting you to just come and drink. And some of us, we try to be so okay, we try to be so perfect around God. And you know, all we must do is we must just let go. Let go of control. Of being in control. Some of us want to be so in control of our futures. We want to work everything out, you know. And all you need to do is, God is inviting you tonight, just says, let go. Give it to me. And God wants to touch you tonight because He's already moving in this place as I'm speaking. God wants to take hardened hearts and He wants to break it open so that it can become soft again and it can feel. I don't want anybody to look around because God is going to start to touch people just as I'm speaking. He's a gentleman, just as we come to invite Him tonight. We start to give our burdens to Him. We start to surrender. Some of us are worrying and we're so busy and we're running around and we're trying to figure out. Just let go. So tonight, Lord, we come again to the cross because we've neglected the cross for many days, for some of us months, for some of us years. You have forgiven us so much. Show us again, Lord. How much you have forgiven us. Come and wash us clean from our sins. Lord, there's some of us here that are trapped in pornography. There are two guys here, Lord. They feel so ashamed. Come and wash us clean tonight. Lord, we just say, we start off tonight by saying we're not okay. But we thank you that you are. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, there's some people, there's two ladies here that you showed me, Lord, that they have not cried for a long time in their life. Because they've been conditioned to be strong. And tonight, Lord, we thank you that we can be weak before you. And I pray that those walls, those damn walls, will break tonight. And you'll start to move, Lord, that the fresh rivers of your water will flow again and flood us. Flood us, Lord. And take us to the place, Lord, of your glory. Lord, there's some of us here, Lord, that are really fighting a mind battle, Lord. We don't have peace in our mind tonight. Because we're really trying to figure everything out. But Lord, even we feel very uncomfortable at this moment. But I want to thank you for your peace right now. I speak your shalom peace to every mind. Because Lord, for some of us, it's like a cancer that's eating us up.